for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt at all-time highs, Debt Relief Advocates is urgently notifying consumers of debt relief now being made available, designed to aid consumers with out-of-control credit card debt. Those who qualify and enroll for this relief program will only have to pay back a fraction of what they owe. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. This is a relief program that credit card companies would rather you not know about, as it ends your debt nightmare and saves you lots of money. Consumers owing at least $10,000 in credit card debt or personal loans can now take advantage of this debt relief as the cost of living skyrockets. Debt Relief Advocates has established a relief hotline for you to call to learn what debt reduction you may qualify for, so don't wait. For this free information, call the Relief Hotline at 800-707-6152. 800-707-6152. 800-707-6152.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Justice Department releasing findings of its civil rights investigation into the Phoenix Police Department.
In the new report, the Department of Justice says it found systemic problems within Phoenix police policies, training, supervision, and accountability. It says various civil rights violations were found, including unjustified deadly force, discrimination against Black and Hispanic people in traffic and other enforcement. Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark.
Our findings today reveal very significant and severe violations of federal law and the Constitution.
Alex Stone, ABC News.
At the G7 summit in Italy, President Biden set to hold a joint press briefing with Ukraine's President Zelensky following their meetings and after G7 leaders agreed to lend Ukraine $50 billion using profits from seized Russian assets. In a unanimous decision, the Supreme Court preserving access to the FDA-approved drug mifepristone, saying doctors who oppose abortion who brought the case don't have a legal standing. This is ABC News. Investigators looking into the unsolved killings of a Milwaukee man say that they cracked the case all thanks to McDonald's.
Jason Sawtell of Milwaukee was found shot to death in a cemetery in 2020 by a jogger who noticed a car parked in the same spot for 2 days and then discovered Sawtell's body. Police arrived and found a shell casing in the car along with two McDonald's cups and a receipt. DNA and fingerprint analysis revealed one of the straws from the cups had Sawtell's DNA and the fingerprints of his wife, Cassandra Holt. She later moved to Arizona and then California, where witnesses say she confessed to killing her husband. Holt's been arrested and extradited back to Milwaukee to face murder charges. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
A 98-year-old man may be the oldest American to ever donate an organ for transplant. Orville Allen from Missouri was a World War II and Korean War veteran. He had been in good health until his death. His liver was successfully transplanted into a 72-year-old woman. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. A citizen effort for change in Milwaukee public schools begins.
Today we all stand in solidarity saying enough is enough.
A group called the MPS School Board Recall Collaborative announced Wednesday its move to remove four members from the city's school board. The initiative's leader, Dr. Tamika Johnson, says the effort is based on a lack of transparency by the board and the district.
This board and administration work to hide the truth from the public, to push a false narrative about the need for more funding.
Voters in the district approved a $250 million referendum in April. A month later, it was learned that MPS was several months behind on reporting financial data to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. That's led to DPI delaying millions of dollars in state aid to the district. Two girls from Oshkosh have died after their ATV crashed into a car. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Office says 11-year-old Mesa Friedenhagen and 7-year-old Kennedy Harris died from the Tuesday afternoon crash in the town of Utica. One of the girls died at the scene. The other was hospitalized and later died. The 43-year-old woman from Oshkosh driving the car involved in the crash suffered minor injuries. She and her 13-year-old son, who was her passenger in the car, assisted in first aid efforts for the girls. A Milwaukee restaurant is forced to temporarily shut down after a November incident. The Milwaukee Common Council decided Wednesday to suspend the license of a Qdoba restaurant on the city's east side. Customer Scott Seward tells Fox 6 Milwaukee what happened after he began eating a burrito from the restaurant.
I bit into something hard, and I'm thinking, what is this? I reached in my mouth, and I pulled out a razor blade.
The city's health department says the blade matched one from a bag cutter tool at the restaurant. Seward wasn't hurt. The council ordered the restaurant be closed for 10 days due to the incident. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sun this afternoon with a few shots of showers or storms. Highs today smack the mid-80s, and as the cold front passes, we will see sunshine to end the day and cooler temperatures, more comfortable tomorrow. The drier air and low 80s will feel great. Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 76.
Higher was the tone of the day in the soy complex and corn futures. Wheat still didn't want to follow corn and ended the day mixed. Cotton futures were mostly higher. Live cattle erased early losses to end the day solidly higher. Feeders slightly lower. And front month hogs gapped down to a new low.
Live from the land of many waters via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we continue coverage of Merck Days with the team from Professional Ag Marketing. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
No, you make a good point there, Davis.
Yeah.
You make a good point. Do you think anybody actually really counted to see if there's 10,000?
You know, I don't know if there, I mean, maybe like just a rough estimate.
That's what it would be. I think the generalization of many waters is probably, you know, more accurate than the land of 10,000 lakes.
I would think so. Well, and especially when you consider, you know, all of the actual navigable waters of the U.S., too. I mean, there's puddles around there. The number grows every day. Am I right? Man,
that's right. That's right. It rained. It rained. Mm-hmm. So that went up, you know, navigable waters went up by like 10 times.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. We're in Southwest Minnesota. You know, I don't know if you can get any more Southwest in Minnesota than what we are here in Laverne. There might be a few miles west and a few miles south, but we are down in the corner of Southwest Minnesota. We are at the Rock Vet Clinic. Big thank you to Merck Animal Health for bringing us out and having some important discussions about what's going on with animal health issues and how a healthy animal can add to the bottom line. that is what we have been focused on in Marshall and now here in Laverne. So, again, big thank you to Merck. We're going to be talking with some of the Merck vets coming up here in just a little bit.
Yeah,
some strength in the soy complex today. That was good to see. Corn was higher, but wheat just doesn't want to come along for the ride at this point. Mm-hmm. Cattle gave up the early losses to close higher. Everything's looking pretty good there.
Good.
All right, buddy.
Good.
Let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, Chip, soft red winter wheat futures have been consolidating around 625 in the July contract since Monday's price setback and traded on both sides of that level again today. Front month SRW posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a high range close. Export sales of wheat in the weekend of June 6th totaled 224,000 metric tons. That was below trade expectations. Traders continue to monitor crop estimates from the Black Sea region and expect the U.S. harvest to bring more hedge selling. July HRW wheat futures were a half penny lower today, 636 and three quarters. July SRW wheat up 3 cents to 620. July spring wheat closed at 667, down 1¼ cents, Chip.
Yeah, not a real impressive export sales tally there, but it was enough that it didn't do any damage to the wheat market today, I don't think. So it could have been better, but it didn't hurt us.
Yep. Well, export sales of corn in the weekend of June 6th totaled 1.056 million metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Japan topped the list of buyers, with Colombia, Mexico, and China also on the list of buyers. July corn futures opened to lower and on session lows, then rallied to close above resistance at Tuesday's high. Front month futures spiked resistance at 460 before setting back to close just below that level. July corn futures 4¼ cents higher, 458.5. September corn up 6¾ cents to 463.5. December corn futures closed at 476. That's up 7¼ today.
And of course, there's a lot of crop talk going on right now. There's no question about that. People are trying to figure out exactly how good is the condition of the crop? Where are the poor areas? What do we need to be concerned about? And I think maybe that's having a little bit of a supportive factor for that corn market today.
Export sales of soybeans in the weekend of June 6th totaled 377,000 metric tons, and that was in line with trade expectations, with China topping the list of buyers. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations in the current marketing year. July soybean futures opened steady and traded downward to support at yesterday's low of 1171. Then prices recovered to close high range and above resistance at yesterday's high. July beans 12¼ cents higher at 1189.5. August beans up 11.5 cents to 1178¼. November beans closed at 1160¼, up 13 cents on the day. Chip, we laughed, we cried in the soybean market today. We ended higher.
Yeah, we did, and soybean meal helped that out. July soybean meal today up $8.10 a ton, and even July bean oil was up 7 points, so at least bean oil wasn't hurting us.
Nice. Well, cotton export sales in the weekend of June 6th totaled 177,000 running bales, just 2% slower than the four-week average sales pace. China was the lead buyer. July cotton today was 39 points lower at 71.35. On your livestocks, beef exports in the week totaled 12,000 metric tons. That was 28% below the four-week average. Boxed beef prices this morning were slightly lower, and movement was slow. June fats today were $1.17.5 higher, 184.82.5. August feeders down a dime to 57.47.5. And on the stout side, pork export sales of 30,000 metric tons were in line with the four-week average sales pace. June lean hog futures today 27.5 lower at 91.75. October down $1.32.5, 75.72.5. Chip.
All right, thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Hey, Oliver, how's it going, buddy?
It's good, Chip. Good to see some green on the screen today.
Absolutely. Did the corn market prove anything to you today?
I felt like the yesterday afternoon and today was really encouraging. I was on with Michelle yesterday afternoon, kind of talking about the Wise Day report, and you know, Mike, it's good news for the market. We know what the bad news is. The fact that we weren't able to feed the bear yesterday, I think, probably sparked a little bit of short covering, and I wouldn't be terribly surprised to see that continue ahead of what is arguably a more important report at the end of the month and into the quarter. So I think there's some upside potential here. I think it ultimately sets up for an opportunity to lay some risk off, though. But for the next couple, being a concern as well. It's not, you know, a huge concern, but there's enough uncertainty still looming that I think probably keeps some premium in the markets as well.
Gotcha. I like the way that the cattle market was able to shrug off those losses earlier in the day and come back and close with some solid gains. You like that market?
Oh, thank goodness it did. I was just saying, I was banging my head against the wall this morning. We came out of the gate so strong on Monday, fizzled out Tuesday, Wednesday, and it looked like this morning, yeah, we're just going to give it up. But we held trendline support in live cattle, filled the gap in feeder cattle. So we're still in a bullish uptrend. And I still think there's a lot of bullish tailwinds behind this market. The cash market has been extremely resilient. The seasonals point to higher trade. And the chart still looks pretty darn good. And the outside markets, we've got stocks at all-time highs. So I think there are some tailwinds here. I think what's really kind of holding the market back is, you know, funds just the unwillingness to participate at the moment with the potential for looming concerns over either bird flu or maybe a slowing economy. Yeah. But if we can get the funds back in this market, I think there's some serious potential to the upside.
Good stuff, Oliver. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care.
You bet. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Davis, I'm going to need you to pay attention to this next second. We're going to get Dr. All right. Aaron DeKoenig in here. We're talking bull fertility. I don't know. You might be able to pick up a tip or two.
I'll take all the tips I can get.
Well, you will. We've also got Mike Miner and Jeff Hogendorn from Professional Ag Marketing.
For more than 50 years, Ralgrow with Zarinol has been known for heavier weaning weights that deliver greater revenue. How much greater exactly? Years of research prove that calves implanted with Ralgrow have an average 23-pound weaning weight advantage over non-implanted calves. At today's feeder calf prices, it's easy to see how those extra pounds can result in a bigger check come sale day. And as far as the idea that non-implanted cattle sell for a premium, this is just not true based on Superior Livestock Auction data in over 3 million calves that consistently shows implanted calves bring the same price per pound as non-implanted calves. The math speaks for itself, and so do the results with Ralgrow, the gold standard in calf implants that helps you aim even higher. Higher calf weights, higher returns, higher satisfaction. Learn more at Ralgrow.com and look for Ralgrow at your veterinarian or animal health supplier. A withdrawal period has not been established for Ralgrow in pre-ruminating calves. Do not use in calves to be processed for veal.
That's the sound of your current hype level at the gas pump. But brace yourself for something fuel nominal, because Unleaded 88 is about to take the hype to a whole new level. Unleaded 88 is cheaper, cleaner, and greener than regular unleaded. Plus, it's homegrown, making Unleaded 88 the clear choice at the pump and totally worth the hype. So pump it up with Unleaded 88, brought to you by Iowa Corn.
The Dirt with me, Mike Howell. An economics podcast where I present the down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Inspired by economics.com, farming's go-to informational resource, I'm here to break down the latest crop nutrition research, news, and issues, helping farmers make better business decisions through actionable insights. Let's dig in.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheesemakers produce over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheeses? Americans' per capita cheese consumption was 33.5 pounds in 2011, and a one-ounce slice of Wisconsin cheese contains about the same amount of protein as an 8-ounce glass of milk. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by BioVet. BioVet offers a complete line of products, including capsules, pastes, soluble powders, calf and cattle electrolytes, and daily feed additives for your dairy herd. Find out more by visiting bio-vet.com.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
On
your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device. AgriTalk is live every weekday.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. We are at the Rock Vet Clinic in Luverne, Minnesota. Big thanks to Merck Animal Health for bringing us up here to talk about some important animal health issues. Of course, it is Merck Day here at Rock Vet Clinic. Come on out, 1295 101st Street, Luverne, Minnesota, and join us. And Dr. Erin DeKoenig is one of the owners of Rock Vet Clinic. She's a veterinarian and joins us right now. Erin, when we were talking this morning, we talked about keeping that herd healthy out there on pasture.
Correct.
Now, before a member of the herd goes out to pasture, we should probably make sure that he's capable of doing what he's being sent out there to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You get him in a trailer. You might as well check the fertility before you put them out on pasture, right?
Correct, yes. And we're very fortunate here at our practice. We have a very large hydraulic chute that can safely hold those bulls. We have a lot of cow-calf clients that have a good chute set up, but not quite big enough to accommodate an animal of that size.
Yep.
So that's why we encourage a lot of our producers to haul those bulls into us so that we can get a good weight on them. We have a scale that works great. I weigh myself every day on it.
Yeah.
and also just get a good idea of how to get that bull in the best condition that we can so he can do his job.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you say that you've got the chute that can handle him, it's for your safety, but it's for that bull's safety, too.
Correct. Exactly.
I mean, well, how would you like to, you know, have some kind of an injury happen to that animal just before you're getting ready to send him out? That's the last thing you want to do.
Correct. And, you know, the bull market right now, it could be hard to find a replacement bull should you need one.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be at the mercy of what's left from all the production sales.
No, that is exactly right. What else do we need to do? I mean, what can we do in the weeks leading up to pasture time for the bull to get him ready?
So we want to make sure that he's being fed well so he keeps himself in a good body condition. It's a pretty safe rule that once you turn him out to do his job, he's so excited about it and he's working so hard, he will lose a full 2 body condition scores while he's out there working hard. So we want to make sure that he's in a good physical condition with the amount of body score that he needs, that he can kind of lose that much to get done what he needs to get done.
Yeah.
While we have him in the chute, we'll also do an assessment of his semen, make sure that things look like we want them to. And we check out his feet, check out his eyes. He needs to be able to travel. He needs to be able to see those ladies. And then we'll also provide them with some immunizations to keep them healthy while they're out there doing their job.
Outstanding. Merck Day. Here at the clinic.
It's been fun.
The big day?
Yes, it has been a great day.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Very good. What's it mean to have them here and the support from the Merck team?
We are so fortunate. You know, we have Anna and Grant in our backyard, and I consider them both good friends of mine as well. And they're only a phone call away, and they are here the moment you need them. They're like the cavalry of antibiotics and vaccines. So it's awesome. The support from them is great.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for opening the door for us here, Erin, and giving us a spot.
It's been a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. Dr. Erin DeKoenig. She is DVM and owner of the Rock Veterinarian Clinic. All right. Let's have a conversation with the guys from Professional Ag Marketing. They're just up the road here in Luverne, Minnesota. Joining us right now, Jeff Hoogendoorn from Professional Ag Marketing. How you doing, Jeff?
We're doing pretty good here this afternoon, Chip. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. And Mike Miner.
How's it going?
Man, I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good. Good to see you again.
Fantastic. It's good to see you too. All right. Jeff, let's talk about what happened in this cattle market today, if we could. As Oliver was saying, we kind of needed that recovery that we got, didn't we?
I was laughing when I was listening to him say we were doing the same thing. It's like, how can we not get any traction in this cattle market? You know, and we still don't have a great day going on. We got lower lows, we got lower highs, Chip. It's the charts are acting like it wants to tip over just a little bit. So we're certainly concerned about that. But we had some awesome cash and it's still going on. I'm still getting alerts here this afternoon. Mm-hmm. The highest I've seen so far is 196.
Okay.
Cash traded here in Nebraska, Iowa. So that's going to be a new record high.
Yeah.
So how's that on Merck Day?
New cash
high on Thursday. Absolutely. So, you know, that's what turned it. It drug the market up a good $2. It was $1.20 lower. And
How is it, Jeff, that we feel like, and I think you're right, when you look at the future strain, it feels like it's rolling over a bit in here, yet we're making these highs in the cash. How do we explain those two things at the same time?
Well, it's nobody trusts it is one is the easiest way to explain it. And you know what? The cattle market is all about the available supply. Okay. So we have these huge weights out there. We've got all this gyration of what are we doing with the available supply? Well, all the evidence so far is that we're pushing it back. We're pushing it back. And eventually that's going to hurt us. It always has in the past. But I tell you what, we've been looking at some of these fed cattle kill rates here. And they're actually on top of last year. Okay. So this whole year, starting last fall, we were killing significantly fewer cattle, and that was what was building some weight and pushing. But I would make an argument today we're actually maybe getting caught up just a smidge. Don't let me overestimate that. Yep. We are killing, I would argue, plenty of cattle, maybe a few too many as far as the Fed rate goes. We're way low on cow kill. So I think that's helping push this cash market, you know, and I've always been leading up to this week, I've been kind of in the camping. The higher it gets in June, lower it'll be next fall.
Yeah.
I'm not in quite as much in that camp anymore, Chip, because of the rate that we've been working through them in the past couple, 3 weeks here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Some good thoughts there. And, you know, when you talk about the cattle backing up a bit and what the heavy cattle, the average weights are doing, we may be killing just a few more than what we were a year ago, but the heavier carcasses put more beef on the market.
For sure. And that's definitely matters, right? You don't have to kill as many as if you got that weight hanging around. And don't get me wrong, that weight's going to hang with us, right? It's not like
it's going away.
Exactly. So you don't, that's going to help keep a lid on. That's no doubt. This futures market's looking at that a bunch, what are we going to do with this, 30 some pounds heavier carcass waste that we're putting out there? Yeah. The other thing I did want to comment on is, that the futures markets trade to the lowest cash price, and that's still happening in the South. So the 196 is up here.
Good point.
I don't know. I haven't seen a ton out of that country yet today. I've heard a little bit about some 190. It would be a nice step higher than last week also. So, I mean, your point's still valid, but that's always something if we're trading cattle in the North, we got to make sure we benchmark back to, hey, it's really the Southern bit that matters.
You know, Jeff, and we're talking about where the cattle are coming from. Is these added weights, we're north of 82-83% on the percent choice and prime at slaughter right now. I've talked with Greg Anderson at Drovers. It's unimaginable that this is where we're at in this cattle slaughter, the cattle processing, to be putting that much choice and prime meat in the meat case. It's amazing, man.
It is. It's a true testament to the industry. I tell you what, I would have never guessed it. And it's, us up here, we like to get hard on folks in the South, and I'm sure they like to pass it back and forth. But, we've been down in that country too. There's a bunch of cattle, nice cattle down in that part of the world too. I mean, you can't get that type of percentage in whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
And when they're in the feedlot and tell the difference, but once you hang them on a hook, all of a sudden it gets a lot more difficult to tell the difference between Southern and Northern cattle. That's just the bottom line right now.
Yep.
And with the amount of weight that those Southern cattle are carrying, that we got to pay attention to it. Mike, the cheap corn or cheaper corn is putting some of the weight on this cattle too, isn't it?
Yeah, we are. And didn't get much of a break on it this week. Bids are increasing a little bit through the countryside. We started to see some of that here with slow movement through a lot of the grain complex and the physical side. But this sell-off we've had in the corn market here came to a little bit of a halt today anyways, Chip.
Yeah. Well, the weekly export sales report, that had to help the market.
Had to help it a little bit. I think there was a few things. China, I think their weather situation, the United States weather forecast, kind of got through yesterday's report like Oliver talked about there.
Yeah.
And
No damage done.
And then, the export side, things are improving for both corn, soybeans, et cetera.
Yeah. This corn market, there's almost a relief factor involved now when we don't get negative news and the market doesn't go down. It's like we're lifting some weight off it as we're getting into the summer months.
Yeah, and we can finally focus on weather premium, something we haven't been able to a little bit, which is going to be really tough when this week's report said 2% of the corn crop is located within a drought. So that makes it tough to...
2%.
2%. Virtually nothing in southern Nebraska there, huh?
But a year ago, it was half.
Yeah. It's 70% at the end of June.
70% at the end of June.
Yep.
A year ago was in drought conditions. This year, 2%. All right, guys, stick around. We're going to talk some more about what is going on in the markets. We've got Mike Miner and Jeff Hogendorn from Professional Ag Marketing here in Laverne.
We all know the expression, make hay while the sun shines. Well, by the look of things, the sun is starting to shine on interest rates again, which means it's a great time to team up with a lender that knows the business of farming, FBN Finance. With flexible terms and rates and pre-qualification for farmland loans up to $3 million for qualified applicants, you can trust FBN Finance to shed light on your ideas to expand your farming operation. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where July HRW wheat futures were a half penny lower at 6.36¾. July SRW wheat up 3 cents to 6.20. July corn futures 4¼ cents higher to 4.58½. December corn futures closed at 4.76. That's up 7¼ cents today. July soybean futures were 12¼ cents higher at 11.89½. November beans closed at 11.60¼. That's up 13 cents today. July cotton 39 points lower, 71.35. On your livestock, June fat cattle were $1.17½ higher at 184.82½. August feeder futures down a dime on the day at 257.47½. June lean hog futures today 27½ lower, 91.75. Get more market news every market day. Visit Try Pro Farmer.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sun this afternoon with a few shots of showers or storms. Highs today smack the mid-80s, and as the cold front passes, we will see sunshine to end the day and cooler temperatures more comfortable tomorrow. The drier air and low 80s will feel great. Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 76.
.org.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are live at the Rock Vet Clinic in Luverne, Minnesota. Big thank you to Merck Animal Health for making our coverage up here of Merck Day possible. Appreciate that very much. With that in mind, let's make time for this industry spotlight. Joining us now, Dr. Grant Crawford, Merck Tech Service Nutritionist. Grant, we've been talking up in Marshall and here in Luverne about implants, and we talked before about implanting the cat. Let's move it along. Let's take it to the feedlot. What are the advantages of implants in those feedlot cattle?
Yeah, well, I think if you go back to what you were talking about a second ago with carcass weights, the only way we can achieve those big carcass weights is through the use of technologies. The number one technology that we use in the feedlot is a growth promoting implant. So what we typically see is in a feedlot steer, an implanted steer versus non-implanted steer on feed for roughly 180 days, that implanted steer will be about 130 pounds heavier at the end of that 180 day period.
Wow.
So it's a huge impact on the profitability of that animal.
180 days will get you 130 pounds.
That's right.
That's an amazing stat right there.
Yeah, and you know, that's why 90%+ of feedlot cattle are implanted.
Yeah.
It's a tool that if you're a feedlot producer, you'll have a hard time going without that tool.
Yeah, and you're doing it basically on the same amount of corn.
That's right.
Same amount of feed.
Yeah.
Boy, you talk about sustainability. There's another argument for it right there, Grant.
Well, that's a piece we don't talk about a whole lot, right?
Yeah.
You know, if we're implanting these cattle to get to those weights, let's say 1,600-pound steer, we're doing it on less feed, less water. They're excreting fewer emissions than an animal that's not implanted.
Right.
So there's a huge positive environmental impact we probably don't talk about. Oh, yeah. It's a big deal, and we probably don't talk about that enough.
Yeah. Yeah, every conversation anymore seems like it comes back around to sustainability, and that's a strong story to tell right there. The other strong story to tell on that is that there's a return. There's a big return to those feedlot implants.
Yeah, if we just walk through that math, that 130 pounds is worth, you know, let's just round up to $250 right there. Feedlot implanted cattle will eat a little bit more, and of course the implants do have a cost to them, but at the end of the day, you know, it's $150 to $200 net positive return for that implant.
Holy smokes. And what do they cost per head?
Oh, probably a program for that amount of time would be less than $10, $8,
exactly.
$8, $9.
Yeah, that's a good return, man.
Yeah.
It's been good talking to you this week, Grant. I sure appreciate your time.
Yeah, I've enjoyed a lot, Chip. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Absolutely. Good deal. That is Dr. Grant Crawford, Merck Tech Service Nutritionist there at Merck Animal Health. Thanks, buddy. All right, let's get back to the conversation now. We've got Mike Miner and Jeff Hogendorn from Professional Ag Marketing. Jeff, let's stay on livestock here for a little bit. Hogs gap lower today. They thought about trying to come back up and fill the gap, but I don't think they got the job done, did they? They left like a nickel gap or something.
Yeah, nope, they didn't get the job done. It's hard to put into words how disappointing this hog market is. The only silver lining a bit, Chip, is we're kind of all used to it, you know, especially on the producer side. It is incredible. You think back, you can't help but think back, and this is painful too, think back to the March, April market, you know, when we had 90-some-dollar index, and we talk about this all the time, sure, everybody's sick of hearing it, but you know, we had $90 index at the end of March, and it's like, wow, what's it going to be in June?
Yeah.
It's already 90 now, you know. Well, come over here, it's $90 yet.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. We've never seen anything like it. And that's what this futures market's had to do, is just come down to these fundamentals that just don't seem to get any better here.
And the numbers, the slaughter numbers just keep kind of piling up on us, don't they?
They do. You know, we're going to kill a good, you know, we kind of got that 2.4 million a week kind of penciled in for the month of June, which is high. There's going to be a few done on Saturday, which is extremely unusual.
Yeah.
That's going to be 2 to 3% higher than a year ago into what we were hoping that we would see. Now, I'm probably going to be a little too optimistic here, but I'm going to say that's maybe not necessarily a bad thing, Chip.
Okay.
You know, the cards could fall in line here pretty decent. You kill, I'm going to argue, a few too many pigs in June. Okay. I think that's very possible to do, considering how they just keep coming at us, keep coming at us. We'll turn on some heat. Yeah. And I think there's a few less pigs out there for July than what there is for June. I think we can turn this market yet before the summer's over.
Well, the July contract is trying to build that floor at 92.50. It's trying. And it, yeah. I mean, like it might get the job done.
I think it sure can. I mean, man, that can't be too high of expectations for this market. I mean, you think we got an index that might have to drop just a little bit. We're going to call the July market maybe a buck and a half higher than the current CME index. Okay. So, I mean, if you can't get a $1.50 rally between here and July 15th, I'll be beside myself. So I think we can do much better than that. I think we can get to the end of this month and get through some of these humps and bumps here. This hog market could have a whole different shine to it the way it looks to me.
Okay. All right. Before we're done in the conversations today, I want to talk about, do we need to get some coverage on in cattle? Do we need to get some coverage on in on hogs? So we'll talk about that yet. Mike Miner at Professional Ag Marketing. We talked a little bit about corn there at the end of the last segment. What's your overall thoughts here? I mean, just give me your feel on what this market is going to be focused on going forward.
So let's start off with how this crop has started. Okay. We've started off with a 75% good, excellent score, yeah. Fantastic. You know, like given our history, that would suggest somewhere around a trend line or higher yield at the end of the year. Six out of the last eight times we've seen that in the last 20 years, we've had a trend or above yield out of this. So very good start to the crop. And when it comes to the traders, I mean, rain makes grain, like we talked about in our last session. It's very difficult for the trade to hop on board and cover some of these shorts up if we don't see something detrimental to our weather forecast going forward. And that's what it's really going to come down to now. Like Oliver mentioned there, like I said, we got through the report yesterday. No bad news, which was good news for us. Yeah. I would have liked to seen a little bit of a discount in that yield, probably.
Okay.
But that's what I was looking for, basically, out of it for the United States.
Okay. Were you a little disappointed that they didn't increase the export estimate?
Not necessarily. On the corn side, not necessarily. I think it's tracking okay with where the USDA expectations are. We have become more competitive globally. I think we have a very good product pricing right now for the corn side. The soybean side, a little bit weaker still. Sure, it's picking up a little bit recently, but maybe we've got some road to go on that yet. The corn side, between the expectations or potential out of the exports, I think are probably washed out on what ethanol is doing right now.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be my take on demand. Ethanol numbers a little bit too weak recently for what I would like to see.
What's the, for this corn market, what's the difference between a 2.01 billion bushel corn carryover and a 1.995?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're just talking about get it under two. What's the difference?
Getting it under two is important. And that's why I think that like yield was really important. If we could have dropped that the half a bushel, that would have pretty much dropped us right below 2 billion bushel ending stocks. So if you get below that, get closer to a 12 or 13% stocks to use ratio. Now you're talking about a historical level around $4.50 or higher in corn historically. But man, once you get closer to that 14% stocks to use ratio where we've kind of been floating, you know, 2.1 billion bushels or greater, then we're really struggling to get corn above $4 in the long run, I think, when it comes to just historicals and just looking at it.
Put a one on the start of the corn carryover and all of a sudden you can start thinking about a $5 market.
Yeah, it keeps volatility in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's all we really need to keep that $5 market.
Do you see anything in the bean supply and demand that that caught your attention?
It just keeps growing. I think the trend is that it just a little bit each time. You know, the old crop estimate is what grew it this time. I would say longer term, it does. I mean, it used to be 300 million bushels was plenty of soybeans around. Yeah. That was comfortable. And now we're talking about 450 plus. So it's back to a more comfortable level. I'm just worried about the trajectory of China pulling away from U.S. Exports into their country. Brazil is really taking off in that space, and I don't think China wants to buy from us if they don't have to anyways. And, you know, we've caught a few sales here, 12 million bushels or so over four trading sessions. It's nice, but still nothing in the new crop, really. That should be a concern.
Oh, absolutely. It's a concern. Yeah. I think it should really be. See, yesterday in the supply and demand on the demand side of the old crop balance sheet, it didn't surprise me that total use went down 10 million bushels. It surprised me that they took it out of the crush and didn't take it out of the exports. There's more to take out yet is kind of how I'm looking at it. So there may be, don't know if I'm right on this or not, but this is kind of what I'm looking for. They need to take something out of that export number and add to the carryover yet.
I've still been on this camp that we've done a really good job of destroying demand for these grains over the past 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough to just stop that and start finding more ways to use it. And when we're adding some of this renewable diesel side of the equation for soybeans, you know, I think it's just going to offset the loss in exports here going forward.
Right, right. You know, every time I say that, though, I look forward to the 2024-25, and you see that big crush number out there, 2.425 billion bushels. You see a good recovery in the export number. Okay, you know, but you still got a big carryover out there, and based on the expectation of trend line yields. Wow, we are moving quick and having conversations on what's going on in the markets. And, of course, we're talking about some animal health as well. We're going to continue the conversation from the Rock Vet Clinic in Laverne, Minnesota, next.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin dairy farms contribute an estimated $43 billion to the state economy? No other single product produced in Wisconsin creates a greater economic impact, and milk is the top commodity in Pepin, Pierce, Buffalo, Dunn, and Eau Claire counties. Thank you, dairy farmers, for all your hard work. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Farm First Dairy Cooperative, where it's always been about dairy producers and their cows, as it should be. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com for more information.
This June Dairy Month, we celebrate our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, and develop the next generation of young leaders. Farm First is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to its members. Thank you to all dairy farm families this June. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how we put farm families first.
Don't miss the 2024 Northern Wisconsin State Fair, July 10th through the 14th. On Thursday, July 11th, it's Grammy nominee and CMA Award winner Lee Bryce on the Riding Cougars main stage. Tickets are selling fast at NWSFA.com. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Since 1919, the area has trusted Real Funeral Home and Cremation Services to handle final arrangements in times of loss. Serving all faiths, Real's offers at-need services, pre-need services with insurance at a guaranteed rate of 3%, and monuments. Real's takes pride in their work and family history and handles complete arrangements for all traditional and memorial services, as well as cremations. Learn more about them at realfuneralhome.com or call them in Durant at 715-672-5691. Real Funeral Home and Cremation Services, offering you peace of mind during a difficult time.
Ralph Lentz, Iowa Corn Promotion Board First Vice President, joins us right now. Ralph, NASCAR and the race weekend. What an opportunity for Iowa Corn to tell the ethanol story, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Chip. Iowa Corn is sponsoring the race to educate consumers on the power and performance of ethanol. If it's good enough for NASCAR, it's good enough for you to fill up at the pump. The only difference is, as consumers, we got to watch our speed limit.
Yeah, let's hope that the guys aren't watching it too bad there at the raceway. We want to see them go as fast as they can under the green flag for as many laps as we possibly can. And building demand, Ralph, building demand for Iowa corn-based ethanol, it's important to Iowa corn growers.
Very important. We know that Iowa farmers want the Iowa checkoff to increase demand for ethanol and promote benefits to consumers. Plus, consumers want to know more about biofuels and the 4,000 products that we raise from corn.
Yeah, it's not just ethanol. We need to understand that. But you've got another campaign that you're going to be running throughout the summer called the Pump It Up campaign. Tell me a little bit about that.
The Pump It Up campaign is where we're going to have pump promotions at different gas stations where we can educate our consumers. And with that, we have a campaign that we have a little jingle with that you can go on YouTube and see. But there's a jingle and a dance, and I think you ought to learn the dance so every time you fill up with ethanol, you can hear the dance at the pump, Jeff.
Hey, you know I'm going to check it out. There's no doubt about that, but I don't know if anybody wants to see me dancing, okay? Ralph, where can we go to learn more about the Iowa Corn 350 race weekend, the Pump It Up campaign? Where should we go?
iowacorn.org.
Excellent. iowacorn.org. Thanks, Ralph. That is Ralph Lentz, Iowa Corn Promotion Board First Vice President.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
I don't know what you're thinking.
So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip, and we are in Laverne, Minnesota at the Rock Vet Clinic. A big thank you to Merck Animal Health for giving a spot to talk about some of the animal health issues out there. With that in mind, let's make time for this industry spotlight. Joining us again, Dr. Tim Parks. He's a Merck Tech Service veterinarian. Tim, it's good to talk with you again.
Glad to be back.
All right. We were talking about preconditioning calves in this morning's show. Let's talk the value. What kind of a value does that bring to each animal when you do the preconditioning?
You know, when we look at preconditioned programs that we talked about earlier today, if we put it into a true program, so like PrimeVac program through Merck, yep. some of the sale barns will have their own certified program that they go through. Working with veterinarians, it really brings value. We've had the opportunity over the last several years to analyze data out of some large auction facilities. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen is, one nice thing is we look at what the baseline is. The baseline went from being non-vaccinates to a VAC 24, which means these cattle have at least seen a vaccine.
Yeah.
Great start. I mean, at least we're giving them a chance. Yep. We're putting something in them. So now as we start to move up, you know, did they get another round of shots? Did we wean them for 45 days? All those types of things. You know, what we're finding is on these 570-pound calves, we're seeing about a $7.80 advantage to cattle that are weaned and have had these shots when we look at it on when we're looking at that weight. Okay. Not to mention, you know, we're also in those animals, we're selling a bigger animal because we're weaning them 45 days. And if we're doing things appropriately, we can put weight on. We can put weight on them through that weaning process and really have them ready. Again, it goes back to let's get them ready so when they leave our place, they have that chance for success.
Tim, putting weight on calves within 45 days of weaning used to be something that we just didn't even think about.
No, but I think it's not just the preconditioned programs, the vaccines, the nutrition, all that stuff that we talk about. Now there's a lot more focus even on animal handling. How do we go about handling these animals to minimize that stress, create an opportunity for them to be successful even as we put them through that weaning process?
So yeah.
Lots of opportunities out there to really add value into these calves. And again, the buyers see the value. Yeah. The buyers see the value. When you're in a high market like this, people aren't cutting back. They want to do everything they can to protect that investment that they got. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we got to make sure that we're able to account for the weight that we purchased. We've got to be able to sell that weight and see that profit. Good and these preconditioned programs it's just a great way to do it.
Yeah. Good stuff, Tim. Thank you.
No, thank you.
I appreciate it very much. Dr. Tim Parks, Merck Tech Service Veterinarian. All right. Let's get back to the conversation on the markets now. We've got Mike Miner and Jeff Hogendorn from Professional Ag Marketing. Jeff, we've talked about the fundamentals in the cattle market, fundamentals in the hog market. What's your level of urgency to get some downside price protection in place?
Well, it largely depends on the, if you're talking about the cattle or the hogs here, as you can probably imagine. If we can start with the cattle here a minute, our biggest job number one, we'll talk about job number one in the hogs too, but job number one in the cattle right now for us is, to not lose all the profits that we've gained the past couple of years as this market has rallied in a big market crash. Yeah. And that's what we're all worried about. And that has to be front and center. Yeah. So that's going to trump a lot of our decisions. So, we've got a number of producers that just aren't willing, and I think wisely so, to take much risk on this market. So a lot of us are, starting to hedge cattle, almost the day that we buy them with some sort of, whether that doesn't always mean it's a straight contract with the pack or a futures, some sort of options or insurance products. Right. So I would seriously think about doing that. But, if we're taking a little bit of risk on the marketplace, we're watching it really hard right now. As you think about that big cycle from the last, 2014, 2015, the market did this. It peaked in the winter. Mm-hmm. It came back twice before it made a really big move. And this could be our second recovery bump, on our way down. I'm not saying that's, the most likely scenario, but that's definitely a scenario that we could be sitting at. So we're going to be really careful. We've got some numbers kind of right here. I'm looking at the October chart. Looking at us, close to 182. I don't mind it right here to be taking on some coverage. 184, we've got kind of a long-term trend line. I'd be really serious about making sure we like where we're positioned at that point.
Okay. Give me 20 seconds on hogs.
Hogs, seasonally, we should be selling hogs.
Yep.
Profitability, there's none there.
Right.
And we've just really taken the bottom out of this market. We're probably not going to chase them here.
Okay.
We're going to wait for that summer rally. The day you feel like, hey, this thing is awesome, it's going to go up forever, get your butt on the phone, call Pro Ag and hedge those pigs.
Perfect. Mike, what about on corn and soybeans? What's your hedging, your risk management attitude right now?
A pretty big update this week, actually. I've really noticed a lot of activity in the cash market. So we'll start with old crop here on specifically the corn side. We'll start with that.
Okay.
We've seen a lot of people wrapping up planning. We've seen a lot of people transition straight into spraying corn. And now it seemed like yesterday and the day before, we've seen a lot of that wrap up in Southwest Minnesota and some of these other areas. And they've went straight into now getting rid of some of the corn in the bin. Yeah. So we've seen a little bit of strengthening here over the past 2 weeks in this Northwest Iowa corn market. We've went from 5 over to 25 over. I want to take advantage of that really quick here as we try to take advantage of that nice basis increase. And it's that time of the year here as people wrap up.
Be looking for some crop opportunities in here.
Sell rallies
is what you're looking
pretty
for.
Pretty simple at this point.
Yeah, I hear you. And identify those spots above the market. Use them. Use them and get some stops put in place there. All right, good stuff. Jeff, Mike, thank you guys so much for coming over. I know it was a long trip for you to get all the way down here to the back, buddy. Yeah. All right. Big thank you to Mike Miner, Jeff Hogendorf from Professional Ag Marketing for coming down and being part of the show. Davis, I've got the National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook up in front of me. We've got above normal. Yeah, hot, baby. We've got above normal temperatures across the Corn Belt for June 19th through the 23rd. We've got above normal precipitation expected in the northern and western production areas. Near normal to below normal in the eastern production areas. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Merck Animal Health. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning from the bunker for the free-for-all here on AgriTalk.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.